This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Vantage Health Plan. 877-217-5757. That's your number, and our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Matt Williams is in the house for the first two segments, the popular host of the WAFB morning show. He's been with Channel 9 since July of 2003, so 18 years for this man who was born in Tulsa, grew up all around the country, and has now spent much of his life in Baton Rouge. He came here in his 20s. He's now in his 40s.
Easy.
And who knows? Who knows? You may be here, at least we hope so, a lot longer. But let's start. Not only has it been a year with crime and a pandemic and much to talk about in a negative way in our world and in our community, but you've had some upheaval on the set. That's changed too.
Sure,
but some popular people you worked with are no longer there, and I know you miss them
every single day. There's obviously the community is like, there has been talk like, wait, what is going on? The whole idea behind this business is to grow, and WAFB is never going to stop anybody from growing on to that next challenge. And when you talk about those we've left, obviously Lauren left in October. But she went back literally to the station that she came from, to us. And they had actually approached her before to come back and be their evening anchor, and she turned it down. But ultimately, it was just something she decided she wanted, a new challenge that she wanted to do. So it was an advancement for her, and it couldn't be more excited. Obviously, we hated a loser, but we're never going to stop somebody from growing into that next challenge. Graham Alkins, who was with us in the morning, this is a brand new venture that Gray Media, that owns WAFB and owns 145 stations around the country. This is a brand new venture that Gray Media is trying, streaming news constantly to every single market within Gray Media family. It's brand new, and they picked him to be one of the people to kick it off. For those who have seen him on the morning show, he's absolutely the perfect person for this. He's just remarkable when it comes to social media and in the moment. And so he's going to be one of the people heading that up as they break ground on this. And then, of course, Diane Deaton, 30-plus years, obviously, with WAFB. And it just happened to be her time. She'd been thinking about retirement for a while. And she was finally ready to run towards it and couldn't be happier for her. Obviously, there are some holes there, but to be able to fill them with the likes of Liz Coe and Steve Caparata, who's been in this business longer than even I have, he's just... I mean, there's some incredible. We're very, very fortunate.
Well, in the morning, it's a tough time to work together because people, as the waitresses and Louis say, the people are mean in the mornings. They're irritable. They haven't gotten started yet. They're cranky, and so if you don't get along with each other to begin with, then you probably got a problem. So that so-called chemistry is I would think more important at that hour of the day than any other hour when you're on the set together and having to work behind the scenes together.
I don't think that's a stretch at all to say that. I've worked every shift, every hour, I've worked them all. Obviously, I've been on this morning show for quite a while. But you're right. And, you know, you'll hear people talk about at their jobs, it's family, it's a second family. And the morning crew certainly is, from in front of a camera to behind it where the real work actually happens. It is family because... Man, we're getting there at dark 30, and it's rough, and you're always tired, and it's exhausting, and it's nonstop. It's a hot show, meaning it's being produced as it's on the air, and it's just nonstop. And so, yeah, you better like just a little bit the people you're working with, or it's going to show. And, man, I really do. I've been so fortunate to work with some incredible people, just really, really lucky.
How long have you we know how long you've been there.
Sure.
But how long have you been getting there at, like, midnight?
Oh, dark 30? Yeah. No, I've been on the morning show now for, I guess, going on 15, more than 14 years. So it's the alarm's been going off, really, really. I've been going to bed before my kids for quite a while now.
And you start
very early. Yeah, 4:30 is the early edition.
On the air, you get there.
Yeah, I'll get there at 2 o'clock. But here's the thing. When I roll into the station at 2 o'clock in the morning, there are three, sometimes four people already in that newsroom going. And a couple have been there since before midnight. It's 2.5 hours. And we're not running a whole ton of packages normally, like the big long forms. We're breaking all that stuff down because people just don't want to hear all that in the morning. So it's a lot of writing. It's a lot of editing. And it's a beast of a show. It's a lot to do.
Well, and for those who work, say, a regular shift, 8 to 5, You've been on the go now for about 7 hours and 12 minutes.
Sure, so sure.
This would be like somebody at 3:12 in the afternoon doing an interview. And, yeah. and you... You've got all this energy. I don't know what you're taking, but right. Do you take supplements?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, I got a car full of stuff that I'm not going to let you see. No. You know what it is? I drink a little bit of coffee in the morning, but that's really pretty much it. Now, I start to fade. Like, I'm a pile of junk at about, you know, when it's time for bedtime. And even on the weekends, 9 o'clock in the evening rolls around. Is Dad going to die on the couch?
9 o'clock. I'm doing the math here, Matt.
Yeah.
If you're at work at 2
a.m., right?
It means you're getting up, I would say, at 1
probably.
Yeah,
right there. Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah.
So 9 to 1, that's 4 hours? You do this with 4 hours?
No, that's the weekend. I try to be normal dad and normal husband. But during the weekday, if I can fall asleep by 8 o'clock, that's pretty good.
5 hours.
Yeah, that's about
right. So you've been blessed with energy, and you're lean and mean. Sleep deprivation sometimes helps that.
Yeah.
Although we have a person in the Oval Office who doesn't sleep a lot.
There is that,
and he is not lean and mean. Now, since we're going to move around here a bit, so
yeah.
And Matt,
yeah.
Matt will roll with the flow. He's pretty
sure.
good about this. I read yesterday our president.
Okay.
1,461 days when he leaves, so we're about 1,446 now in his presidency. Mm. He has tweeted the average more than 33 times per day.
Yeah,
per day.
Right,
that's an amazing feat. Be his greatest accomplishment.
Go back to when obviously Barack Obama was new to the office and Secret Service, and everybody was so concerned about his BlackBerry, and you know we can't let you do. Oh my God, this is 180. And it seems to be obviously where President Trump wants to get his message out and feels that he can without any kind of interference. But, yes, he has used the Twitters very well.
I'm looking at the Advocate of November 8th. Biden wins.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Biden wins. Biden says it's time to heal in victory speech. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's the Advocate on January 5th today.
Yeah.
Trump vows to fight like hell.
Yeah.
And he has many members of our delegation fighting like hell with him to negate the results of the presidential election, prompting an editorial from the Advocate, John Kennedy needs a history lesson. It closes with Kennedy likes to deliver cornpone humor on cable TV, but he's an educated man who studied at Vanderbilt, the University of Virginia, and Oxford. Did they teach any history there? What is going on right now?
Well, what is going on is what you've seen over the last number of years. It is everybody entrenched in their own echo chambers, and that's just not a healthy environment to live in. It is not going beyond the one or two sources that you think is the only bit of information that is mm-hmm. important and relevant. It's tough to watch. It's tough to watch our country get slashed apart like this because of politics, and it certainly has taken on mm-hmm. a brand new volume here. I thought it was interesting, though, as Congress was being sworn in, the oldest Republican in the room decided to take the microphone and say, look, if we are going to stand up and say that the presidential election is a fraud because they're are some ballots that somewhere somebody thinks are forgeries and don't count, then none of us should be sworn in today. And so if you start to think about it in those kinds of terms, instead of just trying to pick and piecemeal your arguments together mm-hmm. just to fit the narrative, it's tough to live in this world right now. We try to tell the whole story, and I know people will certainly have something to say about that, but it's just difficult environment. Anything you say mm-hmm. is going to fire somebody off.
877-217-5757. And a listener does note that the president has been good for media as far as money, and that is true. This Georgia Senate election cycle with two elections that are today.
Oh, yeah.
One election with two races. $500 million spent between November 3rd and January 5th.
And where is that?
$500 million. So if you own a television or radio station in Georgia,
huge.
In Atlanta, you've gotten well on this Trump thing, and Trump is driving the train.
Right.
People who are voting in that race, both of them, are largely voting for or against the President of the United States.
Correct.
He is on the ballot.
That's exactly right. His name is not there, but the impact, the influence, his words, his thought, yeah, absolutely there. And you're absolutely right as far as the money coming into media. These are public airwaves. And so politicians have the right, certainly during political season, to buy into those public airwaves. And a lot of people will get that. Why are you running this? Why are you running that? Because that's what we're supposed to do. They have the right access to it. We just try to do both sides.
And 1,000, yes, 1,000 books have been written about Donald Trump in the last 5 years. 877-217-5757. Talk at talklouisiana.org. One more segment with Matt Williams of WAFB Channel 9 for 18 years, and we'll start with Jim and Walker when we return. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle and Lauren Hickman are producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Matt Williams is in-house, popular anchor person for WAFB Channel 9. He's on the mornings. Starts at 4:30, and Matt is now kind of at the end of his day, but you're going back, I would think.
No, actually, you know what? You got me out of there early, and so I've got two things on the honey-do list, and then I've got carpool and homework and get dinner ready.
Good for you. Jim and Walker. Jim, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Matt Williams. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning.
Matt, I have a question for you. At what point do we start talking about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment? In 1861, we absolutely sent senators and congressmen packing. They were immediately unseated because they did not acknowledge Abraham Lincoln's presidency.
Right.
All right.
Talk about after the Civil War, and then obviously with the Emancipation Proclamation, they sent, it was like a dozen, right? I've seen that story recently as well. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have known that specific part of that. I think, look, you're going to have conversations like that, just like you're going to have conversations of folks standing up in Congress saying this is completely illegal, this vote was. I think there needs to be some tempered reality. Boy, and I say that knowing, understanding what we've seen over the last 4 years, a reality. It has to be the will of the people. If you want to change, you go and vote. And that's what we saw in November, although some are trying to still say these votes, these ballots are fraudulent. I don't think you can send them packing. I think that is up to the people.
Well,
I just don't know enough. I don't know enough political law.
Members of the House, of course, are up every 2 years.
Correct, of course, yes.
Which means next year is an election year. John Kennedy will be on the ballot next year. That's going to be interesting as well. But right now in our delegation, I think the only question mark is Garrett Graves. We know Richmond's going to vote to seat President Biden, as he should.
Yeah, certainly going to be working for him pretty soon.
But we also know that Johnson and Scalise and Higgins will go no, and Letlow is not there.
Correct.
Tragically died, so he's not in the picture. But Garrett Graves, and we know Cassidy's a yes vote and Kennedy's a no. Garrett Graves, how's he going to vote?
I think for a lot of folks, Jim, and we were talking about this a quick minute ago, I think the way he goes, I think is going to grab a lot more attention than everybody else because Garrett Graves has been so tempered in his response to most things and so tempered in his job. I think he appeals to people on the other side of the aisle, those who may typically vote Democratic. I think he appeals to them because he seems and has presented himself and has shown himself to be in Congress a reasonable human being. And that's what, if you're on the other side, that's what you want to see. Okay, I don't necessarily
I think you want that no matter.
Exactly right. Well, actually, depending on who you are.
A lot of Democrats are now in love with Mitt Romney.
Exactly. I mean, talk about a change. You know, here's the thing. Mitt Romney didn't change. He used to be the most hated Republican out there, right?
No, he didn't change.
The party changed. And so if you are looking at somebody like Garrett Graves on the Democratic side and saying, I wonder what he's going to do, that may tell you a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, it'll be fascinating because Garrett Graves has aspirations either in the House to go far, which he can, and
well, back here
he may very well run for governor of Louisiana. And this vote, if he runs for governor, which is a statewide office, Donald Trump won by 400,000 votes in Louisiana.
Did.
So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Garrett Graves vote with Scalise and Higgins and Johnson and Kennedy. 877-217-5757. Patrick in Innisfil Estates, you're on with Matt Williams. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, no one's trying to, well, I'm not trying to overturn the election, but I want an investigation done. I want to know what exactly happened. We're not getting, you know, we're hearing a lot from people that testified under oath and about some shenanigans that went on where they...
All right. I think there has been an investigation, several of them, and these stories the president continues to float about dead people voting. And in Georgia, there were two dead people that were found, right, and their votes were negated. Right. It's just not there.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
And I think
it was not a close race.
No. And I think when you get down to it, when you talk about being investigated, that's exactly where these courts come in. Bring evidence. Show us any kind of an evidence, and then we'll take it to trial and see what happens. They didn't even get to that stage.
Right.
Proof enough of evidence to get to any court that they came up against, saying, "Yeah, this is enough here to maybe move forward." It just didn't happen. And so the hope now, I think, for most people is, can we just move forward with all of this come January 20?
The president is only zoning in on those states he lost.
Yeah.
And if there was voter fraud,
then everything's got to be out.
Well,
right?
It would seem that there would have been voter fraud on both sides, and he's picking a state to showcase that has a Republican governor, a Republican lieutenant governor, and a Republican attorney general.
Yep.
877-217-5757. Richard in French Settlement. Richard, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Matt.
Hey, Richard.
Good morning. I'm glad y'all brought up Garrett Graves. He went on almost a tirade. I wouldn't say that. He was very passionate in his speech when he did his Facebook Live video. Lots of people were questioning him about his voting, and he brought up a very good point that both sides should look at is setting this precedent, Republicans alike, in 4 years. Let's say Trump, you know, wins his bid, gets reelected, or another Republican candidate wins. What could happen in the House when they set this precedent of not wanting to vote to certify the electorate?
Exactly. So do you set a precedent? I think in politics, it just does not matter. Look at the Supreme Court nominations from Barack Obama at the back end to, you know, we're just not going to vote on this close to an election. They were months and months out. Meanwhile, we understand what happened right before a vote in another Supreme Court nomination and Supreme Court election. I would think setting precedent is a bad thing. But when it comes to politics in this country, I just don't think it matters. I think it is absolute time and place in which party is in control. I don't see it, unfortunately, mattering to the soul and the conscience of a person.
Miriam on government. Miriam, you're on with Matt. Hi, Miriam.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering about that 62-minute phone call to the Secretary of State in Georgia, the Register's office. That's a clear example of him being very crazy.
All right. Some are saying that, but yeah. I don't think the president's changed any.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I think what you heard there is exactly what you have gotten from him over the last number of years. I don't think this is anything new. It just happened to be recorded. And don't take the bites that media is playing for you. Go and listen to it for yourself and judge for yourself. It's out there for everybody to hear. But, yeah, I think you're right. This is not a new take from our president.
Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, you're on with Matt. Good morning.
Hey,
hi, Mike.
Good morning, Jim. I'm having a hard time hearing. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Not well, but go for it.
Okay. You brought up Garrett Graves, and yeah, he does seem sane and a nice guy. I would like to see him run against John Kennedy.
All right, he could run for the Senate against Kennedy, and that would be Kennedy's worst nightmare because then Graves gets some of the Republican vote and probably all of the Democratic votes. So you're right, Mike. That would be a death knell for John Neely Kennedy. That's something even I hadn't thought about. So who knows what's going to happen. Matt Williams is a guy who follows everything. Tomorrow we have Hiller Moore and crime. Of course, we've been talking with Matt about this every time he's been on. The U.S. experienced the single one-year increase, biggest in homicide since the country started keeping records in the 20th century. It's been a tough year of 2020. Let's hope it gets better in 2021.
Yeah, it is to see these numbers come out and understanding that these numbers represent individuals and families and lives shattered and taken and lost. And it's not just Baton Rouge. You see this all over the country right now as they go through a pandemic. We isolating ourselves to a point and trying to get through this and stuff just gets sideways. I mean, the overdose record here in Baton Rouge, our coroner was talking about that. It's bad in a lot of places.
Well, Matt, let's bring you back soon. It's always
a pleasure.
And congratulations on your continuing success.
Thank you, sir.
Now the news.